And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. I'm Pete Gray with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right here next to Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. And what a great show we have for you today. Captain Aaron Barnhill, well, you've known him for years and years in the San Diego sport fishing fleet and long-range fleet, but he's a commercial albacore fisherman, commercial crabbing fisherman, and a lot more. You stay tuned. We've got a lot to talk about. You stay tuned. This is Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by. So grab your gear and let's go. This adventure-ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third-row power fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin-panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyFord.com to learn more, or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
You know, the ranch is unique. It's one of the few places in the world where you can still drive ATVs up the beach. We have fishing from the beach. We have dive trips that we run to Pomo in a number of different spots. Kayaking, of course, has been real big. We were one of the first hotels to introduce kayaking. The ranch is small, you know, it's intimate, it's 34 rooms, so everyone gets to know everyone. The old saying, where everyone knows your name, well, truly at Rancho Leonero, the employees do know pretty darn near all our guests' names. And what's even more interesting is most of the guests know each other's names. Very personal, very intimate, and a special, special environment. 2 miles of beachfront, a mile on either side of the hotel. Rancho Leonero is really the last of the old-style Baja fishing resorts. 1-800-646-2252. 1-800-646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. Going to be a great show today. One of these days, we're going to do a radio show, and we won't be talking about the fact that there are still giant bluefin biting, but it's not going to be today.
They're still biting?
It's the middle of November, and we were stringing up 300-pounders again this week. It's just...
Wow.
Freaking wild how cool this is.
And we look behind us at the docks here. They're empty still.
It was 8 boats that went last night. I just had a Fisherman's Landing, and I know, Point Loma and Seaforth, I'm sure, shared, you know, the same. It was just, it is still, absolutely still just happening.
It didn't go anywhere.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
We were all concerned with that big blow that happened last weekend. I mean, that was legitimate rain and real wind, and everybody, you know. In your mind, you had to think, well, it was probably it. You know, everybody was hopeful and everybody was glassful people, but, you know, you have to think, like, this isn't going to be a good one. And the day that wind cleared, they caught it in the same, on the same anchor job that they were at
same
the day
place.
Before. I think the Queen had a, you know, however many big giant ones. They had a 317. They had a bunch of the medium-sized ones to go with it. It's just been awesome.
And then the local boats, San Diego, the Liberty, Mission Bell, they're still on that local yellowfin, too. It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, this has been so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And still rolling.
Well, and you can relate to all that, right, Captain Aaron Barnhill?
Yeah, it's nice when they stick around late, for sure.
It's good. Good morning. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. So tell us what you've been doing lately. Of course, we know you from running the Shogun and being involved with the Long Range Fleet for many, many years. And you still kind of keep your fingers in that pie, right?
Yeah, I still try and run some trips here and there. Yeah. I enjoy coming back and doing that. But yeah, I've been albacore fishing in the summertime, starting in June, and we usually end in October, something like that. And yeah, and then in the fall, do a little bit of crabbing. So, yeah, just try and stay busy.
So tell us about albacore fishing this year. Where are you fishing? How are you fishing? What is that all about?
So we started off southern Oregon at first. So we started jigging. So in the beginning, it's more scattered fish. We're just trolling around, you know, pulling jigs in by hand. And then once, you know, the bait starts gathering up, probably like around August sometime, we start bait fishing. So, we jig for a couple months, you know, a good day jigging. If you average, you know, a ton a day, you're doing all right.
A ton a day.
Jigging is just like, just like you'd be doing at home on a skiff. You're literally just trolling duper feathers and jet heads and whatever else.
That's it, just looking for meter marks and little single poppers on the sonar and stuff like that. And you just start scraping them up all day, you know. Every once in a while you get a little shot or something like that, so... But they add up.
That's
so
wild.
Yeah.
So how do you find the fish, first of all? You go up there, and this is a big ocean. It's a mean ocean up there.
It's a big ocean. They're not always where you think they might
be.
So you get surprised where you find them. But, you just look at a temperature chart and current charts, and you just, like, early season, you just pick an area and go, and you hope you stumble into them.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you say current charts, temperature charts, is that kind of the same thing you do when you're running the Royal Polaris or the Shogun or one of the other boats?
Yeah, same thing, especially early season. You know, you're looking for a little bit warmer water push from the south or southwest. And, where kind of currents come to collide, or you get a little swirl in the current or something like that, just some sort of change. You'll see, like, you know, hundreds of miles with same current, and then you get a little change in there. You know, something's going to stack up on it, hopefully.
Interesting. Yeah. So you look at, if you can look at a temperature and current chart, and you can go, oh, let's go there.
Yeah, it's a place to aim, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily going to be there, but
it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, not a guarantee, but it's a good place to aim
for. You get started.
Yeah, typically it's like off northern California or southern Oregon's where we start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in June, early June, something like that. They usually show up around there.
How far offshore?
This year, it was a couple hundred miles, something like that.
Wow.
So, and there was...
I like that just rolls off. A couple hundred miles.
A couple hundred miles.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
That's a long ways west.
Yeah, and, we're sure we could intercept them earlier, farther out. You know what I mean? It just doesn't really pencil out. And so,
yeah.
And then, they start working up and in, and then they eventually get on the beach. Sometimes we have it, like you guys have off here, pretty darn close to the beach. You can see land and stuff like that later in the season, yeah.
Yeah. And later in the season, it becomes a bait fishery, right?
Right. So that bait's all like larval stage offshore early on. So it's, you know, small. It's all spread out. You don't see it on the machines or anything like that. And then typically sometime in August, something like that, it starts to gather up and get a little bigger and get color to it. And once that bait balls up and they start feeding on it, then those schools kind of come together and you start getting some bait action like that. And, you know, sometimes we see schools before that. We get little shots on the poles or something like that. But once they get on that bait, you know, it starts getting foamers and big jumper spots and stuff like that, that's usually when our bait fishing takes off.
Wow.
That's cool, man. So cool.
Is that the fun part?
That's the fun part.
Yeah. I'll bet it is.
Yeah.
Like, when it's on the bait and you're in the racks, how much fish
I was
going to
say, yeah.
Boat?
What's a big hit? Yeah. Like, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of stops for, like, you know, 75 or 100 or something like that. You kind of string those together all day and you do it. We've had big stops, I don't even know, 300, 400, 500, you know.
Wow.
Our best day was 2,300 with three guys in the rack.
2,300 fish, and how many tons is that?
I think that was like 16 or something like that.
16 in one day.
Yeah. Think about that, too. Yeah, that was you said 2,300 fish for three guys.
Three guys. Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, when somebody's BSing with their buddy, like, I got nine today. It's like, all right, I had 700.
Yeah.
I had 700 tuna today.
Yeah, that's a great day. We may have like one or two days like that, you know, but you get like, you know, 500 or 600 a day. That's a good day, you know.
That's
trying
cool.
to keep
that's
that going.
That's exhausting work, huh?
Can be, and then just deal with a little
I was just going to say, yeah, that's,
yeah.
that's
just
half of it.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, and how do you deal with them? Once you put them on the boat, what happens
Yeah,
to them?
Totally.
So we're brine, spray brine. Uh-huh. So, you know, we got to put the fish in the hold, and then you can spread them out. You can't just throw them in there and forget about them, you know. So we throw them down there, let them get a little, you know, frosty little layer on there, and then we flip them over. So you're going to kind of hard before you throw the next layer down.
Okay.
That way they don't smash each other. We want to try and keep them nice and straight, no dents, stuff like that. So, yeah, you're down there flipping fish, moving them around, and putting the next layer down and doing all that.
That's
so
hard work.
Even while we're fishing, you got one guy in the fish hold dealing with that sometimes. And,
wow.
Yeah.
It's got to be not the favorite job.
No.
It's like the short straw on that one, huh? Or the rookie guy.
Yeah, I was going to ask, so for real, though, is that the new guy, or is that such an important job that, like, it's not the new guy's job?
Yeah,
like,
all the guys on there are good. Okay. So they switch out depending on what's going on.
I got you.
The chummer is the most important job when you got fish around the boat.
Really?
So just keeping some bait going over the side. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're driving the boat.
Yep.
Boat's constantly moving when you're on a school?
Yeah, it's constantly moving. So it varies on how the fish are acting. So if they're real aggressive, we're going, you know, a little over 4 knots or something like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Come on.
And they're just following you around like puppy dogs.
Yeah, if you go too slow, sometimes that fish gets so excited, it'll pass you. You see on the sonar out in front of you. So you want to try and, you know, keep it right next to the boat there.
Yeah.
So sometimes you're adjusting speed all the time or what direction they want to go. It's just every school's kind of different.
Wow. But, I had no idea it could be that fast.
Yeah, when they're biting, they want to pick up that speed, they get fired up.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's cool.
So, okay, let's say that someday albacore come back here, or maybe even yellowfin tuna or something. Is it something that a private boat guy should keep it in gear, or are they, or no? Well, they just don't have enough bait to hold.
Yeah, that, especially if that fish comes in early and you're just getting jig strikes, like, you know, you're trolling around, you get a couple fish on,
right,
and then that's it. You know, no bait fish. Just keep that boat in gear and, like, you know, use your heavy gear like you would for bluefin and just wind them in on if you get a little spot and you keep winding them in, you know, even going like 4 or 5 knots, have your other jigs out, you'll keep getting some strikes.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't stop the boat or whatever, but
stop the boat and they may be with you for a little while and then they leave.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They lose interest or whatever. There's nothing really to hang, but yeah, if you keep, you know, if you get a couple strikes, you just keep the boat moving or in gear or whatever, or you even need like slide your little swim baits back or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, get some more fish that way.
Do you think there's any way we're ever going to see albacore down here?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come back around.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
Someday.
I mean, we saw bluefin up there this year.
You know, yeah,
we caught them. We caught them all the way out of almost Canadian border, you know.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
Caught a few bluefin. So we saw a lot, you know, around Oregon and stuff like that. So it's just kind of, maybe everything shifts that way for a little bit, and I'm sure it'll come back around.
I mean, it clearly is not like the albacore stock is low. I mean, you guys are seeing them and catching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're not around anymore. They're just
stocks are great. And when the longliners are straight out of here, and even off I-30 blocks, so like off San Martin and all that, but way offshore, 400 or 500, 600 miles. I think it was in April or May catching albacore. So that fish has been in lower latitudes. It's just not coming into the beach for whatever reason.
Sure.
So, and that fish just marched up and they got on it, you know, when it was off Oregon or whatever. But that fish is in lower latitudes. It's just, for whatever reason, not coming into the beach here for Reach and San Diego boats.
Now, there's a group, you fish with a group of bait boats, and a lot of them are based here in San Diego.
Right, yeah. I got lucky enough to get in a group with, you know, some of the legends of the bait boat fleet. You know, J.J. Gerritsen got me in that group. So, yeah, Lydorian, Her Grace, Jody H., those boats from San Diego, so lucky enough to work with those guys.
Yeah, and there's no competition between you, right?
Yeah.
It's like, how many did you get? Oh, darn, you got more than me.
A little bit. We're all competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
That makes the group good. You know,
we're
all hungry, and we're all trying to work together and stay on the fish, so it works out really good. It's a great group of guys. I mean, there's so much knowledge within our little group of guys. So,
how many boats?
I think there's 9 of us in our group, so it's pretty small.
Yeah,
we got Pat Cavanaugh. He's in our group now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we got a lot of great fishermen. I mean, guys that I've looked up to since, you know, I started sport fishing. And stuff
sure.
Like that. Yeah.
A lot of the guys. So what is the attraction? What's the attraction for a guy like you that, you know, could run any of the top boats here in San Diego, any your high demand here? What was the attraction for you to go up albacore fishing?
Good question.
Yeah, one of us just, you don't have to stop fishing, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to come in and drop passengers off. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's I just wanted to change of pace and go take a look at it.
Sure.
Like, it's the freedom of it.
Yeah.
You know, I make my own time schedule. I go in when I want to go in, fish as long as I want to fish, you know, and just, it's a total different change of pace. And, you know, the worst thing is, like, you're on a three-day trip, and you find some fish your last day, and then you got to go in, and you hear about everyone catching them while you're at the dock.
I was just going to say, I mean, that's the words out of my mouth. That's got to be the toughest part is the time constraint. Like, you have 5 days to make this catch, or you have 3 days, no matter what, and the clock is ticking the second you untie the lines, you know, heading out, like, the timer is started.
Right, exactly. And it's just different, you know, the whole, like, social aspect. Like, I had so many great passengers and friends that I made, and, you know, like, that whole aspect's gone, but so definitely miss that. I have a great time coming back and running trips and stuff like that, but I like the move I made.
That's cool.
As it were, and financially, is it better than running a long range boat, or
In the amount of time,
so, you know, so you're making it quicker.
I'm making it quicker,
and you have more time to go hunt.
It's a lot of work, you know. It's not even
7:24, right?
And you're up in the middle
of long range fishing is a lot of work too.
It is, for sure, but it's a lot of work, but it works out. But it's, you know, it's just like farming. Like, some years they may not come in.
You know,
it's not a steady paycheck. I mean, you've got to go earn that, and you've got to catch fish to make money.
So,
if they don't come in 1 year, I mean, we just don't make any money. But
definitely got to sock it away.
So
next week you're off to another fishery, and that's commercial Dungeness crabbing, right?
Right. Yeah.
What's that like?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot.
There seems to be a pretty steady...
And that's out of San Francisco?
Right. So my boat's out of Crescent City, just below the Oregon border. But we start usually... it's kind of a little chess game where we're going to start or whatever. So we have permits for both California, Oregon, and Washington. But we usually start around the San Francisco area and then fish that first and then go from there. So last year we fished down there and then went up to Washington for a bit. And then we were back down in Northern California. So it's just wherever we can try to make the most money.
And how deep of water are you fish Dungeness?
We usually start in like 120 feet of water and then just work out deeper. You know, just keep working out.
Like,
what's
the deepest you catch a Dungeness crab?
I'm sure you could catch them in 200 fathoms if you had
that
gear. Yeah, draggers have gotten them out there and stuff like that. I think the deepest we fished last year was a little over 100 fathoms.
Wow.
That's more than I would have thought.
Yeah, that's a lot of rope for all those pots.
And what are the pots like? Are they like Deadliest Catch style pots where you that you see on Deadliest Catch?
They're round pots. They're 40. Ours are 42 inches in diameter. They're 14 inches tall. Tunnel on each side. And without any rope or buoys or anything like that in there, they weigh like 110 to 120 pounds.
Okay. So a little bigger than a lobster trap. Interesting.
I just think the whole thing's so cool.
It's
different. Very cool.
Yeah. Do you ever envision Deadliest Catch Part 2 for Dungeness? Is that, I mean, does it, I mean, the weather's got to be, because of the time of the year, you're fishing up there.
Yeah, if you're getting ready
up
to
in
start
December,
that right now,
right?
That can't be nice weather.
I think they did have a little show on it out of Oregon like that. Yeah, I saw it. But it's, it's just a lot more hands-on work, too. You know, I mean, we're lifting all, you know, moving all the pots by hand. Basically, the block's the only thing that's bringing them up. So, it's,
and much smaller boats, too.
Smaller boats, yeah. We're just a 58-foot. We're an old limit seiner. Actually, the boat I'm on, the Pacific Pride's from Kettenberg boat. It was built in the mid-70s something like that.
Really?
Yeah, it was a limit seiner up in Alaska, and they converted it to a crab and albacore boat.
What's a limit seiner?
It's just the size limit up there. It's got to be like 58 feet.
Oh, for like the sockeye.
Yeah, and all that.
All that stuff,
small seiners up in Alaska.
I see. Wow. That's cool. lot to go on here today on Let's Talk Hookup, right, Ricky?
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun talking with a great buddy and talking fishing. And, man, I mean, just all the things, you know, that you've seen from, I remember fishing with you on the Legend and all the way through and long range and now all this commercial stuff. Going to be a great show. So much great information. And if you want to talk to us, man, we want to hear from you. Going to be a great time on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. If you want to join the show, 833-288-0973. Again, 833-288-0973. That's how you reach us on the phones. Also, a cool new option of the show. I know we've been talking about it plenty, but, man, it's been a really successful, and that's the text the show option. And the only way you can text the show is via the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a totally free download. If you got your phone out, just go onto the App Store. If you had an iPhone or the Google Play Store on an Android, search Let's Talk Hookup, and you'll see the little Let's Talk Hookup icon. Free download, cool information. You can listen to all the past archive shows, and there's a little tab on there that just says text the show, fire off a question, and we get a bunch of them. We try to read as many as we can on the air. It's usually more than we're able to do so, but a lot lot of fun there. So, again, text the show or give us a call, 833-288-0973. Not only are we talking with Aaron today, talking all kinds of great fishing, we have also got a great prize. One lucky caller at the end of the show today is going to win a full-day trip fishing on the San Diego with Captain Ryan Boston at a C4 Sport Fishing, who, again, they're just seeing phenomenal fishing. I mean, it is the middle of November, and limits of yellowtail again yesterday with yellowfin tuna and Dorado. So it's just wild. So
Dorado in mid-November.
This is pretty darn cool, man. Yeah, so again, an awesome prize for one lucky caller. Somebody's going fishing on the San Diego. We're going to be taking those phone calls and lots of talk over there, and you stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
It's another innovation from Seaguar, the proven leader in saltwater leader material. Introducing new Gold Label Leader. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet, 18% thinner and 17% stronger than any other Seaguar leader. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates in clear water and on leader-shy fish. New Gold Label is made with exclusive Seaguar fluorocarbon resins in a double structure process which provides exceptional knot and tensile strength. Yet it's soft and cinches easily for fail-safe knots. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and two interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook light enough for live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy bluefin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. Most captains agree the Gamakatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with the introduction of the Nautilus HD, no matter how big the tuna, Gamakatsu has a hook to handle it. The new Nautilus HD is now available with solid ring or standard hook. Get it now at select tackle shops and start getting bit.
Hook up! Right now, you have a chance to go fishing with Captain Ryan Bostian on the San Diego, 833-288-0973, and Captain Aaron Barnhill. So tell us about your career in the sport fishing industry, because you had quite the long and illustrious career with us here at the San Diego Sport Fishing Fleet, right?
Yeah, so actually I kind of dropped out of college and just needed a job for a summer to make a little money, and my buddy Cole Byron was working on the Legend, so I asked everybody to Seaforth for a job, and the Legend's the only one that gave me a job. And
really?
I started there, and then, yeah, I got enough time, got my license, and I think a week after I got my license, I was running trips.
Who was running the boat at the time?
Josh Walton and Sean. Okay. Yeah, Pat was running a few trips, and, yeah, I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yeah, it's been on a
yeah.
lot of years.
A minute. That's a lot of years. And then from there, you went where?
Yeah, so started there and ran that for 3 years or 4 years, something like that, and then went on the Royal Polaris, or the rooster for a winter, and then it started on the Royal Polaris and was lucky enough to run that boat, you know, for a few trips, you know. So,
Royal.
And then, yeah, I ended up going back to the Legend, kind of flip-flop, and then, the opportunity for the Shogun came up, and that was when I was trying to kind of maybe buying the Legend or something like that and just didn't work out. And so, yeah, I got on the Shogun, and that was a nice little stretch. I learned a lot doing that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And I got in touch with Ted Dunn.
Working with Ted.
Yeah, Ted and Frank, and yeah, two of the best guys, and it really learned a lot in that stretch right there.
So, they must have been devastated when you said, "Hey, I'm going albacore fishing."
Yeah, I think it was just kind of a change. I just needed a change of pace.
Sure,
at the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So on that point in my life, so I mean, it worked out. You know, Renee's doing a great job with the boat now.
Yeah, Renee's
so
awesome. Yeah, and you know, there'll be cameo appearances, I'm sure, now and then, maybe, huh?
Yeah.
Can we hope for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do that. I've run a couple trips on the Rooster. I love Ethan and Andy and those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, always be there to help Renee out if I'm able to do it. I'd love to come run some trips.
Yeah, definitely. Well, fantastic. Well, hey, we have some great text and phone calls coming in. If you want to get through, again, 833-288-0973. Text the show right through our Let's Talk Hookup app. And we have a question. And do try and let us know. Mike from Gardena sent, let us know who you are. So Mike from Gardena sent, what months are the commercial season for albacore, and do you still see larger fish as you move further north?
That's a good question. So we usually start sometime in June. You know, we've caught fishes. I think we got fish June 1st one year, like right off Coos Bay, Oregon. Just depends. Sometime in June, whenever the water straightens out.
Is that weather related, or are they always there, or are they just not there?
The water. Some people think some of those big fish hang out year round. You know, I don't know if those big fish don't have to come to the surface. You know, they feed down deep. You know, especially when they're there. So I mean, who knows? But. So we start in June, and then basically the weather dictates when our season stops. You know, I mean, one year, I think our last good day was September 4th, 3 years ago. And then this last year, I think our last day was like October 15th or 14th or something like that. So it was big.
This year?
Yeah, weather dependent, you know. And some years, I mean, I know JJ fished up there till Thanksgiving one year.
Wow.
Catch some fish. So you get a little weather window, you can go out and catch some fish. And those years where there's a lot of bait and the fish want to hang around and stuff like that. So, typically it seems like, that fish does get segregated. It seems like warmer water, and out west we get a lot of smaller fish, you know. And that big fish, when we do see it, like those 40-pounders, are usually pretty tight to the beach, you know, around that beach water edge or that green water coming off the beach hits that blue water. That's usually where we get our bigger fish. That's usually around Columbia River, you know, up above and below the Columbia River is usually the best area for that.
For bigger fish,
Does the weather always end your fishing season, or do the fish end your fishing season?
It depends. Like 3 years ago, it was a fish. They just disappeared. Mm-hmm. We were just like, you know, we had a little...
Catching them one day and the next day
we
had a
great day. Our best day at 2,300. It was like, all right, sweet. We got a little blow. After that, we're going to get back on them, and it was crickets.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah, I think JJ and I went all the way down off Crescent City, and we went all the way back up Canadian border, and we found nothing 3.5 weeks. You know, I think we had like maybe 250 fish in 3.5 weeks.
Wow.
Or something.
Wow.
And you had 2,300 in a day.
Right.
Like, you know, a few days before.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They were gone. They wanted to move on.
Yeah, that was it.
Somewhere else, so.
Average season, how many miles will you log on your vessel?
I don't know. I should figure that
out.
I'll
bet it's a bunch.
Yeah.
Like thousands, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we do. Couple thousand, especially the first jig trip, I'm sure it's in the thousand somewhere.
Wow. Because you're out for basically 4 months nonstop.
Yeah. The first, the trips are longer in the beginning. So it's jigging, you know. You're just scraping a little bit up every day. So we're usually like around 30, 35 days for our first trip.
Yeah.
And then they get shorter as the season goes on. And like, you know, sometimes we'll just have weather windows. So we can fish for like 5 days of good weather. And then it's just time to go in. A little storm comes through. You go in, just, you know, get the fish off, get some more groceries, and get ready to go back out.
That's a trip, man.
That's cool. Well, hey, phones are packed up. One line open. You want to get through? Here's your chance. 833-288-0973. Let's go ahead and jump for the phones.
You got it, man. Let's talk to Mike. Mike's calling us from Rosemead this morning. What's up, Mike? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for picking up my line. Good morning, everyone down there, San Diego. Hey, my question is, how much fuel does your boat hold, and have you calculated how much it costs per year or per season to fuel up your boat?
We hold about 6,000 gallons, and we burn typically I'd say on average 100 gallons a day with a generator and all that. Mm-hmm. So if we're traveling, I get into an area, we'll maybe burn 150 or something like that.
Single engine?
Single engine, yeah. QSM-11, like the same engines we had on the Legend.
Okay.
Yeah, and John Deere 4045s, just, you know, little four-cylinder generators like a lot of those sport boats have.
You have two generators?
Two generators.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a little bit bigger generators in some boats because we crab hydraulics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
and you got to have backup for the refrigeration, I'm
right.
sure, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Generator goes out, you're in trouble.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you haven't calculated out over the season, but imagine, I mean, you figure it out, however many days we fish times, you know, 110 gallons or something like that.
110 gallons in a day, that's nothing, though.
Nothing like,
I mean, like,
around a long range boat, or 500 gallons or something like
day.
That. Yeah, a day.
Yeah, for sure.
What a trip.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Pretty amazing. Good question. Hey, thanks a lot for getting us started here. Thanks a lot for the call.
We got another great text, too. This one was from James in Temple City saying, hi, just wondering what you do at the end of your trip with a bait that you haven't used. Do you release it for the next time? Every time I go fishing, I always see that most of the bait at the end of the trip has died. And also, what's the procedure like for obtaining your live bait?
So we buy most of our bait. Our cured bait, we can hold a little bit more, and we can catch it. This year was really tough trying to make bait. It's for whatever reason, a tough year in Washington. So we try to hang on to all the bait we can. So we get it out of the wells first, you know, our like the side deck wells, and that way we keep the bait in the tanks. That way if we do fill the boat, we don't have to throw any bait over the side, you know, or move it or anything like that. So typically we use anchovies. That's basically all we use. So... Yeah.
Yeah. And it bait's probably sometimes as much a challenge to find as the fish, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. If bait's tough, I mean, you're in it. I mean, especially during bait fishing, you really can't catch without bait. It's that key. So
you can't jig fish when they're on the bait.
Yeah. This year was kind of an anomaly. There's some pretty good jigging, you know, around, even though there was bait fishing going on. Like, those jiggers did good.
Yeah.
You know, I'd really, like, RJ had a really good year this year jigging. But there's years like, you know, we'll have 1,000 fish, and the jiggers like less than 100. You know, they just don't want the jigs once they get on bait. So, it's key to have that bait. I mean, that's our lifeline there.
You said there's times that you buy it. What's that procedure like? I mean, is it a receiver like we have out here? You just buy it from a boat that's got it netted up? Like, how do they house it for you to buy it from them?
Yeah, typically this is out of Westport. They have nets between dock slips, you know, so they're like bigger, deeper nets like that, and they sack them up. And they have a bait boat similar to like Everingham does, and they, you know, catch it, put it in the pens and let it cure out. And we can fit, you know, I think like 25% more cured bait, you know,
just
works out better for us.
Do they have sea lion issues up there the same way we do here?
Same thing, same thing. They got electric fence and nets around and all that kind of thing,
Do you have sea lions issues 200 miles offshore?
We have seen them. We've had a couple swim in the stern and you know, grab fish occasionally.
It's like, what the heck
like
are you
that.
Doing out here, right?
The amount of like blue sharks up there in Mako's is pretty incredible at times, too. You'll be jigging and all of a sudden, you know, you see a Mako come out with the fish in his mouth shaking. You know, no big ones, but, you know, a little Mako shaking it around. Or you get busy jigging, you got a bunch of fish dragging and pulling a couple, and they're all shark bit up and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Blue sharks, do a ton of blue sharks up there. It's amazing. Yeah, it's incredible how many are up there.
I think the thing that's blowing me away the most is that you do all this with a 3-person crew. You know, when you're, and like, how many jig lines... when you're trolling, like, how many lines do you guys troll at a time?
We troll 14 lines.
14 at a time.
Yeah, 12 to 14, depending on what's going on.
Yeah, keeping busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, let's go live on the water right now. Captain Mike from the Tributes on the line. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Doing great.
Good morning.
Where are you fishing? What are you doing?
Let's say today's probably not a day to fish for bluefin out west.
Oh.
So it's a little bit on the choppy side.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you're probably going to see a lot of the bluefin boats showing up here mid-afternoon or early afternoon today. It's just a little choppy out west, to say the least. The weather kind of went back and forth, and then they downgraded it yesterday, and then they upgraded it this morning, and we got to experience pretty much every bit of that. So
nice.
We're going to give our anglers the opportunity to come out here and do this on a day where it doesn't look like this. But yesterday we had really, really good yellowfin fishing. We had limits of yellowfin for a 14-passenger rent rod group. It's still around. Really, really good fishing. We had a 48 yellowtail to go with it and some skipjack. I know a couple of the other boats that are out here did really well on them. I think just waiting for this weather window to clear up as far as fishing out west, which it looks like after today it's going to get a lot nicer. I know there's supposed to be a big swell moving through tomorrow. And it looks like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday throughout the week it's supposed to get really nice. And hopefully we can get back on this bluefin and keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, no kidding. So in the meantime, you have some yellowfin and some skipjack and some yellowtail around and keep things going. And, of course, tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. right here in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, Mike will be rolling in fresh off the boat, right?
Yeah, I will be sleeping in my own bed tonight, though. So yeah, if I'm late tomorrow, then you have a reason to be mad at me.
Yeah, okay, Roger. All right, so you're back at the
dock. Yeah, it sounds like everybody that was out here trying to do this today, it sounds like everybody's on their way home trying to, you know, play it safe, give their passengers a chance to come back out and do this on a day where it's not gusting 30 knots and, you know, more than anything, just playing it safe, keeping everybody on the boat out here in good shape. So, like I said, after today's blow, it looks like it's going to get really nice. We do have room on tomorrow night's trip, and the weather tomorrow night does look really downright nice. I think they're Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's supposed to be favorable. This weekend weather here for the last two weekends, I don't know. They have something against weekends right now.
Yeah. Well, mild Santa Ana moving in tomorrow. You know what that means.
Yeah.
Beautiful weather out on the Cortez and the Tanner and good times. If somebody wants to get on the tribute, so tomorrow night, day and a half trip, is that right?
Tomorrow night, day and a half trip, leaving out of Seaforth Landing. And then we have another trip Tuesday night and another one of these those one-day trips Thursday night. And like I said, we had darn good fishing yesterday, about as good as it gets. And I know it's the middle of November, but, hey, take advantage of it. We even saw some Dorado in 66-degree water yesterday.
Jeez,
they look like they must have been born up here, and we released them. But still still some pretty interesting fishing for this time of year. So
no kidding.
If you'd like to take advantage of it, give Seaforth a call at 619-224-3383. You can book through seaforthlanding.com or tributesportfishing.com. But, yeah, I mean, it's, I'm starting to see guy winds up and lifts a little Dorado over the side. The water's 66 degrees. It blew me away.
Wow. Awesome. Well, hey, great trip, and thanks for the check. Appreciate that, and we'll see you tomorrow morning right here on the show.
We'll see you tomorrow morning, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that check. Wow, that's interesting. Well, okay, it sounds like they had to pull the plug, turn around for safety's sake, right?
Yeah, maybe they get lucky on the way in, though. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
Things could happen. How does that play into your fishery? I mean, is there ever a time where it's like, we got to get the heck out of here?
Yeah, for sure. There's times where we got to go in. We sit on the sea anchor a lot during weather and try to wait it out. We can stay on the fish. And, like, bait fishing, we can't have the guys in the rack when there's a big swell.
Sure.
And swamped and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Jigging, you know, we can jig in some choppy weather. You know, you just go slow going upwind, go upwind for an hour, and then, you know, turn downwind and, you know, pick up some speed and start getting some jig strikes.
What's choppy to you?
You know, like 25 knots is choppy, you know. Like, we fish in 20 all the time, but it just depends on the swell, too. If there's no swell in 25 knots, it's fine. But, you know, you start getting some swell on there, and you start taking some good ones, you know, and then... Yeah, I mean, if it's blowing over gale, it's probably a good time just to go do a turnaround, you know? I mean, if it's really good fishing, we can hang out on the sea anchor, we will, but it just depends.
So you'll hang out on a sea anchor when it's blowing 35, 40 knots?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
It depends. Like, if we're on good fish, you know, and we're fresh in on a trip, and we don't want to, like, go in yet, you know, we got plenty of room, plenty of groceries, plenty of bait, we'll just hang out and wait for the wind to come down.
Yeah. So when you're on a sea anchor, what is the purpose of a sea anchor? What does it do?
That's a great question.
Basically, keep your bow into the swell and into the wind. You know,
So it's like a giant parachute.
Giant parachute, right? Yeah, we have a little. You know, we have like probably 20 fathoms of line with a crab buoy that goes to a hippity hop, like a big bumper ball, and that keeps the sea anchor up. And we have like 600 feet of line that goes to the boat with a bridle. And it just makes your ride a lot nicer. You're not rolling around in the trough and stuff like that. Kind of keeps your bow into it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get caught in rifts where the current's going up into it, and you know, it's just It is what it is. Yeah. It's miserable.
Just ride it out.
Yeah, just got to ride it out.
You just turn the engine off and just hang out, huh?
Just hang out, watch movies. Yeah, we got satellite TV on the boat.
So nice.
Hanging out, yeah.
Nice.
I don't know why. I think I just assumed, because I know that you do trips that are as long as you do, I just always assumed that this was out of more than 58 feet worth of boat. You know, I mean, that, like, right. Not that that's a small boat by
absolutely.
Any means, but, I mean, you know, you're talking huge loads of fish and, you know, a month at a
big
time
ocean.
On the boat. I think my mind goes to more than 58 feet of boat underneath you.
Right. For a 58-footer, we have bulbous bow, rolling chocks. The boat rides great.
Yeah.
And washer and dryer on there. And when it's only four guys in there.
Sure.
You know.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's a really good point.
It's not that bad. You know, if you had, you know, a bunch of passengers on there for that long of a time.
That's a good way to look at it. You're right. Sure.
Different. But, yeah, it's it works out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Make cool. Work. Well, let's jump back on those phones. They're jam-packed.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you, Aaron.
Every line is full. Let's next up talk to Hills. Hills calling us from Ventura this morning. What's up, Hills? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was wondering from Aaron, I've never been to Crescent City, but some harbors are pretty sketchy, like if the entrance is you know, small or whatever. Some of these little rivers in, like in Mendocino County and stuff, I can't even believe they fish out of these little places. Like, is where you go in to get groceries, is it sketchy, or is, like, Crescent City pretty safe entrance?
Crescent City is pretty doable, even on a big swell, but there are some you really got to watch out for, and you got to do it by the current, too. We get fuel in Brookings. It's the first time I drove in there, I was like, oh, holy cow. Like,
this is tight. Get in here, right?
You're right. It's tight.
Is it like a river mouth?
Yeah, river mouth. And so, like, Westport, too, I mean, when we crabbed out there in the winter, I mean, you really got to watch the business. And, like, if it's going to be a big swell, you got to do it with incoming tide. You know, or incoming tide kind of knocked that swell down. Or if it's going to be a big swell, like, you just got to go in because you're not going to be able to go across the bar. Like, when we left this year to come home, it was still a pretty good swell, and we took some good ones coming out. So you got to watch the business and know what part of the channel you can come out in and stuff like that. Newport gets gnarly in Oregon. Another time, Eureka, we went there to get bait one time. It was a big swell. It was a little sketchy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just got to watch the business and, you know, watch the, you know, the weather and the swell and do it with the tides.
Is it white knuckling driving in there?
Sometimes,
yeah.
First time, it's got to be hairy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking at it, like, there's no way.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to. Like,
the current's gnarly. I mean, that current comes out 3-4 knots, and that really jacks the swell up.
Sucks.
You cannot come out on an outgoing tide, you know, when there's some swell. It gets jacked up.
Yeah. You can't come out.
Right, or in, same
in or out.
Yeah, we've taken them crabbing, like taking good ones over the stern where it's like you got a couple feet of standing water and it gets sketchy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got to be going in, you get your bait, and then you have to stay there until the current switches and goes, or until the tide switches and goes the other direction.
So yeah, or sometimes we just got to sit in there for days, wait for the swell to come down. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's cool, man.
It's a whole other aspect,
right? Totally. There.
Yeah.
Not like this gnarly.
Not just like rolling into San Diego Bay.
I was just going to say,
yeah.
You so take for granted, like, coming into the mouth of San Diego Bay, tying up at Fisherman's Landing, idling over to Everingham Brothers Bait Company. You know what I mean? Like, down here, like, somebody like me, I just totally take that for granted. Like,
yeah, this is the easiest port I've ever come in and out of.
I'm sure.
This one right here.
This one right here.
It's always nice.
Yep.
Even if the weather is horrific, as long as you can get back to here, you're all good.
Yeah.
Indeed.
That's wild. Yep.
Thanks a lot for the call.
That's great. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We're going to check in with Catch Reports, more of your phone calls, find out what's going on the water. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection. Plus, a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And, you know, I always go back to think, when I hold that Trinidad A in my hand, man, that thing is just, that's the best.
There has never been a better conventional casting reel ever made, period. And I don't know that there ever will be. I mean, that Trinidad is it. Just amazing free spool, so much power. The thing casts better. That is the Cadillac.
And power, you said
no doubt.
For a Star Drag reel. Trinidad beats them all.
The very best.
Yeah, no kidding. And so when it comes to albacore fishing, let's say we have small tuna albacore around, what size are you going to fish?
Trinidad 14A. When we have albacore, when that cycles back around and we have albacore and anchovies again, a Trinidad A will be the most prized thing in your possession. Super lightweight spool, able to cast a bait that's light like an anchovy forever but still have power. Imagine having a reel that casts as good as your old Newell 220, but it casts better and it actually has power and you don't have to replace the drags every other trip.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Trinidad A at your local Shimano dealer.
Situated between the Pacific Ocean and the Gulf of California, the state of Baja California Sur encompasses the southern half of the Baja Peninsula. The climate is perfect for fishing, boating, surfing, and diving, making Baja Sur a top destination for adventurers and thrill seekers. Rich in history, Loreto, the first capital of the Californias, is considered the first settlement in Baja Sur. Loreto is surrounded by tranquil turquoise waters and is known for its extraordinary marine life, whale watching, and of course, the finest sport fishing. So easy to get to and a favorite destination for families as well as hardcore anglers. Loreto is a short non-stop flight on Alaska Air from Los Angeles and on Volaris or Calafia Air from the newly renovated Tijuana Airport via the Cross-Border Express. Check loretobcstourism.com for more information and experience one of the great places in the world right in our own backyard. Loreto in Baja Sur.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. If you want to get through, it's already been a very busy morning. We have one single phone line that's available. That's 833-288-0973.
All right, let's go ahead and jump in the phones.
You got it. Hollis calling us from Santee is up next on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. What's up, Hollis?
Nothing. Morning, you guys.
Morning.
So
morning.
I'm going to ask a question. I believe sounds like you're kind of from San Diego. What do you see in the albacore coming back to San Diego, and what kind of migration pattern do you see with this albacore? And thanks, you guys. I'll take it off the air.
All right. Thanks, Collins,
buddy. That's a good question, because the setup, you know, for the last few years, there's been bait around, anchovy balls, stuff like that. And, you know, when we had albacore back in 06, 07, it was warm water. You know, some of my best days were in 69-degree water, so just for whatever reason, they're not coming into the coast here. They're just kind of bypassing it. So I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe a little more cool off of the water or something like that. You know, like they said, they were straight out of here, out of San Diego in May, you know, but just way offshore. So
What's way offshore?
500-600 miles.
Oh, yeah, way offshore.
Out in the 130s, yeah. So I don't know. Just one of these years, they'll squeak in. They'll probably surprise us. One of the guys on the long-range boat's going down to wherever, Hurricane Bank or something, will probably stumble into them in spring, you know, just going through, start getting some strikes, you see some jumpers or something like that.
It's not that the setup is not for albacore, like we have this year, and spring was like, wow, could happen, right?
Yeah,
but we'll take 300-pound bluefin.
Yeah,
consolation prize, right?
Yeah, phenomenal fishing down here. Yeah. But yeah, maybe the water needs to cool off a little bit more. Yeah. We start fishing in, like, you know, 60-degree water. I think this year it was 61 my first day out. You know, we had a couple hundred fish or something like that. So maybe it needs to cool off a little bit more and they'll come in. But like I said, 06, 07, 05, we had good fishing in warmer water. So, we just need to squeak in here.
The best answer seems to be that there isn't one. You know what I mean? The way I say that is, like, the condition has been, quote unquote, on paper, plenty right plenty of times. The fishes weren't here, you know. Like you don't get to dictate what they do. They come or they don't, and they like their food and they like their water, and they're going to go wherever that is. You know, I mean, the condition, you know, on paper has been plenty good plenty of times. But like you said, we're just in a different cycle, and our cycle right now happens to be amazing bluefin fishing. And I mean, look, and the problem with catching 300-pound bluefins is, like, you get so, you know, polarized. Look how good everything – look how good the offshore yellowtail fishing has been. I mean, the full-day guys have had limits of yellowtail.
Yellowfin, Dorado.
After trip after trip. Yeah, you just it has been an amazing year this year.
Aaron, did you ever see an albacore and a Dorado in the same stop?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we had those kelps late where we catch yellowfin, bluefin, albacore, yellowtail, dorado, all in the same kelp.
Wow.
You drift off the kelp, you start getting a few albacore, stuff like
cool.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned water temperature. When you're bait fishing in August, what's the water temp?
64 to 66. Oh. We had last year, we had some warm water even up there. We're catching dorado off Coos Bay last year.
Really?
Or the year before last. Yeah.
That's
you know,
cool.
Dorados are a few big eye caught, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So. But I think, too, it's like we get those stretches of grease calm weather and that surface temp kind of gets bumped up, but I think that thermocline water is still pretty cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What happens when you guys catch dorado? Does that thing become dinner? Do you sell it up? I mean, what happens? Like,
lay it up.
Yeah.
And eat,
okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
cool.
Fresh fish dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. We got every year we catch yellowtail, troll my logs. If I see a log, oh, let's go troll by it, you know, try and get a couple. We had like a dozen yellowtail this year. Something
nice.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That goes on the dinner table.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. Hey, if you want to get through, first time we've had an available line here in quite a while, 833-288-0973. Adam's standing by in the studio. We'll take your call. I have a good text here. What is the average size of albacore, and do they sport fish for them up there? And that's from Craig in Mission Viejo. Thanks, Craig.
Yeah, there's quite a few boats, like little Delta-style boats that run out of Westport, and they do albacore trips.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Is that like a 6-pack, 12-pack?
No, they're like say, like a... you know, like a Pacific Dawn style.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
20 people like or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
something like that. So, yeah. But, yeah, quite a little fleet there. They got live bait and all that
uh-huh.
stuff. So, yeah, I've actually seen a few of my passengers up there.
That's pretty cool.
Really?
And stuff
yeah.
like that. Yeah, walking down the dock. Oh, hey, how's it going?
Are you ever fishing near them?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd say the average size over the year, probably like 14, 15 pounds.
Okay.
Something like that. We have trips, you know, where it's, you know, we get better average around 20 pounds. And then sometimes early it's maybe a 12-pound average, 11-pound average. So
what's your money size? What's the size that you like to pack and you're going to get?
15 to 20 pounds. 15 to 18 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, right
yeah.
around there. Yeah. yeah.
Stack good, but they
right. come on quick.
Can... Okay.
You know,
yeah,
you start
true.
Getting those big ones on the beach, you know, it's like they add up quick if they're biting. You get a lot of tear-offs mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But, yeah, if I could have a 15-pound average, I'd be stoked with that.
That's cool.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. Mark from Santee is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great.
Hey, Aaron, I got a question for you. I was in a barber shop about a couple weeks ago, and I met this kid who just got off a albacore commercial boat. And I said, well, how do you fish albacore? And he was explaining to me how they, you know, they jig them and pick them up and they just drop off. How long does it take a guy to get that technique down?
It depends. Like these kids that work on these sport boats, I mean, they're so good with a rod and reel. You know, they've been fishing their whole life with it. They pick it up really quick, you know. And, yeah, it's just a little technique of when to relax that line and let the fish come off. But especially, like, the guys I've had came from sport boats. They pick it up real quick.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. Anyone who can rod and reel who's been trying their whole life to fool a fish, you know, with a lure, you know, is good with a rod and reel, gets good at that pretty quick.
What's on the end of the line when you're bait fishing?
So we have it's like a chromed lead head with a barbless hook on there. It's kind of bent out a little bit.
It's kind of like a bonita feather?
Yeah, kind of like exactly. Like those old-style bonita feathers like that, just bigger.
Uh-huh.
And we actually use medical tape, and we tape a scampi on there. So it's like a little tougher scampi. We use like white or cream color, something like that. Some guys use blue, purple, whatever, but that's all it is. Like, we don't use the feathers anymore. It's actually like a scampi.
Scampi?
Yeah. There's a little technique to put it on, and you stretch it and use the tape and all that and
sure.
tie the head. But, yeah, that's all we use.
And barbless hook.
Yeah, it's barbless hook. It's like a little bent out. It's kind of hard to describe. But yeah, it's just a heavier lead head with a barbless hook. And we use wire leaders, 180-pound wire, 160-pound wire, stranded wire on there. It just swims through the water better.
Stranded wire.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, and the guys, when we bait pole, sometimes we'll slow the boat down and, you know, fish with live bait on there. And some guys use fluorocarbon. I still like to use a single-strand wire. You can kind of push the bait down into the water. So every guy has their own little technique. Some guys use, like, the owner style gorilla hooks or something like that. We use the old style, like Taniguchi hooks, little bait hooks.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
All right.
Bait hooks are barbless also?
Yeah. Sometimes we'll take our dikes and just make little grooves in them just to keep the bait on there a little better.
Oh, okay.
And when it's tough, sometimes the guys will leave the barbs on there just to, when it's scratchy.
I know nothing about it, but I've seen both things. I've seen guys, you know, hook a fish and just whip the thing over their shoulder, and the fish, you know, goes behind them, hits the deck wherever a hook falls out, and they go to try and catch another one. And then other guys, you know, kind of wing them where they pull them into their chest and hold on to them and throw them. Like, what is the theory behind that? And
exactly.
maybe explain what that is if somebody hasn't
seen
it.
Yeah, so when we're fishing the scampies, it's basically you're throwing them on. You know, okay. You're just as fast as you can, you know, get that thing back in the water and try and get another one. Well, that bait fishing, you know, using a live bait, and the key is, like, when you wing them, you know, you pull the fish up, and then as it's getting the momentum towards you, you kind of stop the momentum, pushing the pole away from yourself, and then wing them, and then that way...
Wing them means you catch them.
You
the
catch
fish
them.
Comes out of the water, and you grab a hold of it.
Yeah, for me, I catch it under my left arm, mm-hmm. and then you take the hook out with your right hand, can kind of dump the fish onto the deck, and then you have the hook already in your hand, and so you can just grab another bait out of the well, flip it on, and get it back out there. So that's
just
the
speed thing.
When they're biting, you just want to try and get either your scampi or your bait back in the water as quick as you can.
You ever get the hooks in you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't hesitate at that.
Yeah, and then sometimes you get those fish that just get wild on you, you know, when you're grabbing them and just sticking you on the fingers. And,
Yeah. Try and keep protection up.
But right. You try and get them upside down, you know, but it doesn't always work out that way. So, yeah.
What happens when you put them upside down?
It just kind of, like, puts them in a little catatonic state sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, not all the time, but that's the theory.
That's Rick, awesome.
Rick, you have a text?
Yeah, I mean, lots of great ones come through. This one, you know, pulling Aaron back to his bluefin days. Says, hey, guys, I just picked up a 26-foot boat. I'm interested in learning how to fish the dead flyer and land one of these monster bluefins. My questions include, what is the best way to learn to fish the kite and how to rig a flyer? And two, what are the important steps that an angler should take to have success in fishing this style of method? Also, what kind of, you know, kite balloons, that kind of stuff. But any insight?
Yeah, that's you know, my deal is I like those 20-0 Mustad circle hooks for flyers. A lot of guys use, like, you know, a J hook and a treble hook and like that. I just kept it simple, mm-hmm. you know, and I like those big circle hooks that, you know, Eagle Claw, a bunch of companies make them. Those bigger ones I seem to have better luck with. And then just...
I just got to say this because it's always fun. We have a rack of hooks that lives on the peg at Fisherman's Landing that was just for the Royal Polaris and how you guys like to fish and fly. Like, it was such a unique hook, that 20-0 circle hook. It was like just you guys had such success with that thing. And everybody like, what on earth are you going to do with a 20-0 circle hook? And that was it. Like, we had a peg dedicated just for you guys and that fishing.
Right. And if you're fishing for, you know, that 400 pounder, I mean, that's the hook you want to use.
Sure.
You get that bite in there. You know, I've torn out a lot of those J hooks and stuff like that. Bad luck with them. So we just stuck with that. It worked out good for us. So the biggest thing is just trying to position that kite on the fish, like, you know, learning which way you can turn the boat. You know, obviously you can't really turn downwind too much with the kite out. You're going to drop it. Certain things like that you'll just pick up, trial and error. You know, I always put a balloon on the kite unless it was really blowing, just for the ease of doing it. And if you had to make some weird little turn, at least the kite would stay in the air.
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age with now there's 100 boats out there. And if somebody comes at you funky or vice versa, having the balloon sure is nice to just, if you're forced to move the wrong direction, at least your kite's not going to be in the water.
You got
to
make a turn.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you pick it up, you know, how to quarter, you know, downwind and keep that kite in a decent position and stuff like that. So it's just, you know, just got to go out and keep at
it.
It might be frustrating in the beginning, but if you stick at it, you'll do good.
You still remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
You got it, man. How about this time we talked to Sam. Sam's calling us from Irvine this morning. What's up, Sam? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Somebody asked my question about the albacore size they're catching, but I want to tell Aaron he's had a... one of my top trips where we went out, there was no bites on the count. I may have told this story already, but nobody was catching yellowfin, and we took a chance and headed into Mexican waters about noontime, and the boat limited out when the limit was 5, so guy really has instincts, no doubt about it. Thank you for that.
Alpha, thanks. Appreciate it.
Indeed. That's thanks cool. a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hook Up coming your way. Like I said, we got the Catch Report coming up, a whole another hour of your phone calls. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hook Up on the Let's Talk Hook Up app and radio network.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen, for fishermen, in Mission Bay.
You've heard all about it. You know the anglers catching fish have it, so what's holding you back? It's a fact. FishDope.com really does help you catch more fish and burn less fuel. FishDope.com is the only fish finding service with a spotter plane along with a crew of top anglers on the water almost every day that report actual locations and catches. You can get daily catch reports from Point Conception to San Martin Island, 365 days a year. FishDope.com is for everyone, whether you have your own boat, fish on your friend's boat, or a sport boat. FishDope.com has online planning tools, moon phase, tides, hot bite icons, and more. So bottom line is, if you don't have fishdope.com, well, you're probably missing a lot of bites. Membership costs less than $50 of gas, and that's for the entire year. That's right, 1 year. What a bargain. Plus, use the special code to save $20 on a new fishdope.com membership. Check it out today. fishdope.com. Catch more fish, burn less fuel. There are plenty of boat slips and marinas in San Diego, but there is only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. Come check out what's new at the Kona Kai. 170 luxury guest rooms, including 41 brand new suites, featuring contemporary island-inspired decor, deep soaking tubs, and oversized balconies. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and an award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Add the Kona Kai Club to your membership and you have access to the new Paloma Pool Bar, a new and exclusive pool area for adults only, which allows guests to enjoy poolside craft cocktails and California coastal cuisine while overlooking your boat. In addition to all this, Kona Kai is the closest marina to the open ocean. Check resortkonakai.com on the web for more information, to reserve a slip, or inquire about joining the club. The Kona Kai Resort, much more than just a place to park your boat.
Shimano has done it again. An amazing lever drag 2-speed reel at an affordable price. It's Speedmaster 2, the extremely durable, high-performance Speedmaster 2 with high maximum drag power and a smooth, ultra-wide range of drag adjustability is an absolute fish-fighting machine. Its rigid, hoggity body prevents misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest loads. Plus, a spare drag cam is included for optimal use with monofilament lines. The Speedmaster is now available in four models, 12, 16, 20, and 25. This is the perfect reel for the angler looking for a powerful, lightweight, smooth casting reel for tuna or other powerful saltwater game fish at more affordable price. Nothing in its class can match the Shimano Speedmaster 2, built to provide high-end performance and durability in a compact, lightweight frame. Get the Shimano Speedmaster 2 lever drag reel at your local Shimano dealer. Check Shimano.com for all the details.
Your San Diego County Ford dealer knows that vehicles are not one size fits all, and they have a variety to choose from to suit your individual wants and needs. Looking for a truck to handle both work and play? The legendary F-150 has you covered with its military-grade aluminum alloy body and high-strength steel frame and smart technology, like the available Pro Trailer Backup Assist to help you back up your boat with the turn of a dial. Or do you need a vehicle that's ready for your next adventure? The Ford Ranger is standing by. So grab your gear and let's go. This adventure-ready truck has an available terrain management system that has four selectable drive modes depending on what terrain you're on for optimum performance. Is an SUV more your speed? No problem. Your San Diego County Ford dealers have those too. The 2020 Ford Explorer has been completely redesigned inside and out and has available third-row power fold seats to easily accommodate more passengers or cargo and available twin-panel moonroof to let the outdoors in. Visit buyfordnow.com to learn more or visit your nearest San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.